A true journey of discovery lies not in seeking new shores, but in finding new eyes. New eyes to wonder, to imagine, to learn. How do we help launch our students on their lifelong journeys of discovery? Through guided inquiry. Inquiry into the world they see around them. Technology in the 21st century has expanded the world that we can see. There are new ways to travel to other places virtually, and new tools for using multiple languages or sign systems to learn and communicate what we learn. Framing teaching and learning in an inquiry stance means that teachers become mentors who create the conditions of possibility for young eyes to see in new ways. Content areas integrate naturally as children shape their inquiry and learn content of interest to them as well as curriculum goals. Let's peek in one classroom. Jen Posick's kindergarten classroom, to see how she has begun to teach very young children to conduct inquiry. You'll meet Honey Bun, the first animal in these kindergartners' animal inquiry project.
Well, Honey Bun is our class pet. He's our rabbit. He's very cute. He's a center. They can go and observe him during center time and just learn about him through observation, which I really love because that means it's definitely one way to inquire about things is just through observation. With our experiment with him, when we were making the KWL chart, one of the questions that kept coming up again and again was, well, does Honey Bun like carrots? Does Honey Bun like this? Does Honey Bun like this type of food? So we decided to find out what Honey Bun would like the best. So we came up with a list of all the types of food we thought he would like, and they came up with how we should figure it out. And the first time they decided we should put him in the blocks area, so we cornered off blocks, put all the food in the blocks area. He hopped to the broccoli, and he touched the broccoli, and then he just hopped around, and he didn't touch anything else. So our experiment was a little bit of a failure, which was great, because we got to talk about why experiments don't always work and how scientists have to come back and revise and rethink about what's going to make it work. So the second time, we put all the food in his cage, and we got to watch him eat it. And it was interesting, because he didn't eat the carrot either time. Which is what I would have thought. I mean, you know. So we recorded our results from that, and then we waited till the end of the day to see if he ate anything else and recorded results from that. And so then we talked about what we thought he liked the best. And it seems like broccoli is probably his favorite. And then we also talked about, we noticed kind of a bit of a pattern because four of the five things that he ate on our list were green. So we're thinking maybe he likes the green stuff.
So Honey Bun's dietary preferences serve as one of the ways Jen teaches her kindergartners that they can inquire with their new eyes that understand how to observe and document what they learn. Jen and Honey Bun then lead these kindergartners into a coached Padea project that will include lots of inquiry through reading books, exploring the web, and talking with experts. And true to the coached Padea project model, these children will engage in Padea seminars and present what they learn in some tangible way to celebrate the journey they've made. Now, if you've not visited a kindergarten classroom for a while, you might be surprised to learn how accomplished these five-year-olds are at reading and writing. This is not your father's kindergarten. These children begin reading and writing on day one. They are so successful because Jen makes sure they become literate in developmentally appropriate ways. This animal inquiry begins with the tried and true KWL strategy. Only Jen suggests that it's more appropriate to say that the K refers to what these five-year-olds think they know. To become their class's resident experts on various animals found in the forest of western North Carolina, these kindergartners learn to read the pictures in nonfiction text and on the web, and then write down what they learn. The Standards for the English Language Arts document, prepared jointly by the National Council of the Teachers of English and the International Reading Association, states explicitly that young learners need to develop visual language alongside verbal language. And that's what these children are doing as they move effortlessly from using visual language to read the pictures to translating what they see into written verbal language. Through months of reading and writing workshops, they've been taught to stretch words to sound them out, and they can confidently write down everything they learn using invented as well as some beginning conventional spelling. They can find answers to questions they care about with ever-increasing independence. Brianna communicates confidently when she writes what she learned about cougars. They can swim, but they don't want to. Reading and writing have become inquiry tools for these young researchers. Interestingly, they become inquiry tools for both the metacognitive part of inquiry, recording what they learn and reflecting upon it, and for the communication part, as they write poetry and create a huge life-size habitat with their forest animals to share what they've learned and celebrate the journey. So the children will come full circle with their visual and verbal language tools of inquiry. They begin their inquiry by reading pictures and writing what they learned, and they conclude by writing poetry and drawing pictures to communicate what they've learned. Our second mini-documentary celebrates the journey of a community and the new eyes with which Carl Ann Sherping's fourth graders see their home. For 9 years, Carl Ann has guided her students through an inquiry to learn about the rural mountain community of Saluda, North Carolina. The local historian credits Carl Ann as the person who deserves the most credit for preserving the history of Saluda. Carl Ann's contribution has come in the form of hundreds of oral histories that her students have completed over the years. The series is titled appropriately, Through Our Eyes. The Oral History Association defines oral history as a method of gathering and preserving historical information through recorded interviews with participants in the past events and ways of life, and explains that it's both the oldest type of historical inquiry, predating the written word, and one of the most modern, initiated with tape recorders in the 1940s. Today's modern tools for historical inquiry are documentary work, are the video camera, desktop publishing, and the web. You'll be impressed at how these fourth graders learn to write their interviews with community members in narrative form by composing as they review their videotaped interviews. And there was even a child who conducted an instant message interview with a community member who was spending the school year in Florida. The whole community was impressed at the autograph party when these young documentarians presented their book. They realized, as these youngsters had come to understand, that these priceless community stories were now saved for future generations. We hope you'll be inspired by the work of these young inquiring minds, kindergartners and fourth graders, and that you'll see with new eyes how you can integrate guided inquiry for 21st century literacy learning in your classroom.